Future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the machine is grinding its gears. This is the story behind the story, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Dr. A. Truat. Yes, the doctor is in, and he's not going to be probably in the best of a voice tonight. My my voice is kind of almost shot tonight. I've been talking nonstop for the last 3 days, and those of you that know me personally think, how could that? That's not possible. You can't talk 3 days straight. Well, you know, if you know me, I say, well, of course you can. I was told today by an individual who happened to serve as my corporate attorney for a good 10, maybe 12 years, that I am a blowhard, a bully, and, absolute, you know, basically charlatan. And it was, you know, it was in a series of deposition settings. And I'm just like, okay. That's nice to tell me this now after you take my money for decades. And so people are just amazing to me. You just never know what's going on in their minds. And so, yeah, I've only been doing this radio show for, this is my 30th anniversary, not to say it's anything special, but 30 years is quite a long time, 3 decades. And during that time, I submit you absolutely learn more from your guests than you could ever hope to teach them. So what's the value? Valuation, what's the value placed on such a thing? What's the value of a life well lived? What's the value of education and or knowledge? There's no price tag. It's kind of really priceless. So we have, again, this radio show. We're just pleased to bring it on tonight. We have, again, thank you for the simulcast going on in through the Goldwater Networks. We have our Albanian kid, as I'm going to call you now, from Albania, Major Burdock. How's things shaking in Albania? By the way, what's the name of the primary town in the nation of Albania?
It's Tirana. It's the main city.
Tirana, as in like Toronto, but Tirana.
T-I-R-A-N-A.
What's the population there? You say you're having a great time and the people are wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Populations, what, in the city itself, I think it's something like, I'm going to have to double check. It's over 2 million. And then total, I don't know. I want to say like probably at least 8 in the immediate area, something like that. And the whole city, I'll have to get back to you on other statistics.
Okay. About the general, you know, general ballpark, about 8 mil in the city of Toronto.
I would think, I'd say around there.
Well, that's not a bad size burg. You were playing, Rockin' Cello. Was that you playing it, or was it your significant other, or just, it was nice cellist, whoever it was.
Video that I got, there was people just playing music. There were people that were just they had a national holiday, I think it was Greek Orthodox Sunday, and the whole city was just like the whole weekend, and then it was that Monday they celebrated everything, but that whole weekend was just on fire. People from all over the country were in town, and they had bands playing everything from speed metal to classical music, and then they just launched off a bunch of fireworks, and everybody was having a grand old time.
Greek Orthodox primarily. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I was wondering, you know, so Albania, would you say it's largely Greek Orthodox? And
no, it's 90% Muslim. This is an Islamic country. You hear the call to prayer. The difference is that nobody appears to be really practicing or talking about it. You don't see anyone. You're not seeing any. Basically, no women in Muslim garb. There's no burqas. Maybe once in a like. I don't know, maybe 1 in 500.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I kind of have an interesting soft spot. I'm getting more and more of a soft spot for both the Greek Orthodox, basically I call them the mother faith, and the Russian Orthodox faith, because you look at it, their basic scriptural, you know, their Bible goes clear back to the first century, I understand. And where the King James and other Bibles that we use here in the West have 66 books in it, isn't interesting? There's 11 more books there in the Orthodox faith, for a total of 77, including a incredible book called the Book of Enoch that was even part of the Dead Sea Scrolls library. And the Book of Enoch is just ignored by the Catholic faith and the Western, you know, basically splinter groups of whether you're Protestant or Mormon or whatever you want to call it, you're basically are splinters from the Roman Church, which really have forgotten and excised those 11 other books. I think that's part kind of interesting, but that's a whole other topic on the.
Are they New Testament or Old Testament?
Primarily Old Testament, James. And welcome, James. Missed you.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I mean that I don't want to wait for another show to find that out. I'm going to those.
Do you know what?
I hope they have it in English.
Well, yeah, you can get the Book of Enoch in English online. It's called the Apocryphal. The Roman Church has called it the Apocryphal or the Apocryphy. It's there, and it's, you know, people like the Christian, you know, fundamentalists, you know, they all say, well, the apocryphal works are just not divine and they're not of God and yes, yada, yada. But yet, isn't it interesting that the book of Jude in the New Testament, the book of Jude is probably, I mean, Jude, I'd like to get to know Jude.
I have written it for you on parchment. Because you told me you liked it so much, I just never had a chance to give it to you. I'm gonna have to find out where.
Well, yeah, it's so sweet and so right to the point, because Jude is focusing on, listen, people, don't get so caught up in all these different isms, basically. He's just saying there's one faith. It's a faith that was originally it's simple. The gospel is just the good news, and it simply means that Yahushua was who he was, that he died and rose again. That's it. I mean, and you learn to love but Jude is a super Reader's Digest condensed version, in my opinion, of the Book of Enoch. I mean, he really does quote all the Book of Enoch's basic.
I thought it was just a movie. I didn't realize it was an actual book in the Bible. I'm gonna have to get me an Christian Orthodox Church. You know, is that the Russian or the Greek or both? Or because they both call themselves Orthodox, the Greeks and the Russians.
They're an Orthodox means the original religion. That's what ortho means, or the first, the beginning. Doxology is the belief system. So it's the original faith, basically what Orthodox means. The Greek Orthodox was founded by they trace their so-called papal authority. They don't use the word papal or father, but the priestly line back to Saint Peter, the apostle. Okay. Whereas the Russian traces it back to the brothers of Peter, the Saint Andrew, the patron founder of Russia, and his brother Peter was the Greek. So
did they both use the same Bible?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. That's probably why Cyrillic is so similar to Greek.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you look at the linguistics, there's a strong body of evidence. Of course, this makes common sense also. There's 22 Greek letters. There's also 22 Paleo-Hebrew letters. You look at the origins of where the Paleo-Hebrew began, circa 1800 BC, at about the time of the biblical exodus of the Hebrew people out of Egypt. And then you see 800 years after that, you see some morphing of the characters into what is called Greek today. So Greek actually spun off of the Paleo-Hebrew. Most scholars agree with that premise. So it wasn't the Greek first that, you know, spawned off the Paleo-Hebrew. No, it was just the opposite.
So what I know about like the Western Bible is the Old Testament was written from the Egyptian version that was there, the Coptics use. And that's where we got that from. So are the Coptics are not Orthodox? They would be more Western then, I guess.
Great point. And you're bringing up a great point with that. And indeed, yes. The Alexandria, Egypt, which is again, Egypt is Egypt, just like New York is America versus San Francisco, but it is still part of Egypt. So Alexandria, the great library, held these writings that came out of basically Constantinople and the Emperor Constantine. And so that was basically stored away in the Alexandria archives until it became, you know, more put, you know, the priestly class, the trained priests were again looking at the text, which was written into Latin. They had the Bible themselves, and the common people just didn't know. They were able to basically just lord it over them. But you look at the difference with that is the original, it wasn't Coptic, it was more Aramaic / Paleo-Hebrew, not the block Hebrew. This is what Aramaic really is, that was given to St. Peter, that he brought through the letters of the Pauline letters on most of the New Testament, the four Gospels, of course, in the Epistle of Jude, the letter of Jude. It's all basically in Aramaic that got into what's called the Textus Receptus, the Greek, that was then just basically put into whatever language, in Russian, the Russian, but the Greek Bible stayed in Greek. So that's what really gives us a validation check on whether the Egyptian Alexandria Bible was matching. And the 66 books of the Vulgate, or what's, you know, the Alexandria Egypt version, those 66 books match pretty well. They're just missing these 11, you know, others to make 77, including this book of Enoch. The neat thing, the book
seven,
of Enoch,
seven is an awesome number.
Well, it's a special sacred number indeed. The 7 days of creation, 6 days of work, and one day of rest. This is part of our whole DNA structure, by the way. There are seven structures. There's seven major organs in the body. There's seven. Everything about the human nervous system is structured in sevens. Seven is a watermark of our creation, I submit. I've written papers and things about that as well. But no, the book of Enoch is so amazing in one section that it describes the serpent that actually the name of the serpent is really a fallen angel coming from that was basically left heaven because of rebellion. The name was Gadriel in the book of Enoch, Gadriel. And it was shortened from Gadriel, or the one wanting to be God, Gadriel, El meaning the supreme one, to just the simple three-letter word, God. God means the serpent in Eden, actually. Isn't that kind of stunning? It's not the name. The actual name of the creator is not God. God is the big G that the Freemasons and secret societies worship, by the way. Gadriel.
Oh, is that what that stands for? Because you see that on all the stickers, on their bumper stickers.
Yep. It's the Gadriel string. Freemasonry is an absolute sex cult. You know that? The inverted pentagram is the feminine pubic area. And so the compass over the square is the male principle versus the feminine. And it's a sex cult. And the Gadriel is also tied into genitalia. Gadriel, the worship of the sex cult, which is what happens at the higher degrees, whether, you know, you're 33rd degree and higher, you're getting to the jesters, all of that. It's just, you know, sex party time. All right. Just saying that's what it means. If you're a higher initiate, you know what I'm talking about. If you're lower initiate, if you want to go out and have some sex parties, you want to advance faster, but it's not a good thing, okay, because...
Is that what was happening in Congress with this new congressman that's in a wheelchair?
I believe so, personally, yes.
He was invited to sex parties and cocaine parties with some of the other congressmen?
And if you're really, really special, you'll have not only cocaine, but you'll get really stoked on adrenochrome. And
I've seen pictures of most of these congressmen, and I've met a few of them. There's not a one that I would want to have sex with. I can't imagine going to a sex party with these guys.
Well, that's why the jesters pay so much for the really good looking, you know. Even they speak a little foreign, like maybe coming out of the Ukraine. Ukraine's been a major source of some really, you know, sexy women. Like, I won't cast any aspersions to our first lady, our earlier.
She's
first lady.
Slovenian. That's
yeah, I know, but it's the same Baltic region, the Ukrainian women. It's just the same.
They're prevalent. Beautiful women. They are
gorgeous.
They're almost as pretty as my wife.
Aha. Good point. You know what I'm talking about, though. It's that, my goodness, they are called presidential models in
the high cheekbones, Roman nose, beautiful, like, full figure and taller than me.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. We have Philip on the line, too. Hey, Philip, are you with us still? He said they had to run and get a package. But, yeah, we missed him last week.
He went down to the mini stop to get a pack of Copenhagen.
Oh. Oh, my goodness. What a.
Did we lose Burdock? I interrupted you guys, and then we were getting a tour of Albania. And I'm jealous. I watched his Albanian tour that on his TV show this morning, and wow, that is a beautiful place.
Oh yeah, this is just I'm over on the coast right now. It's just amazing. The weather is just incredible. It goes from like 50 to 72. And it's just incredible. Last couple of days, man, you couldn't ask for anything better. So, I know I'm kind of in the honeymoon phase here, but I'm having a hard time believing. I'm waiting for to see some mean person or to see some ugly behavior. And it's just, I haven't seen it yet. So, I'm starting to like this place.
Yeah, it could be very strict law enforcement there. Good law enforcement makes for a peaceful, happy environment for most people.
Well, one thing they didn't do, apparently they did try to put in some sort of mask mandate. And they were trying to get people vaccinated here. And people just said, no, we're just not going to do it. They basically just didn't do it. And so that's why I haven't seen a single person with a mask on over here. Not one.
That's actually cool. That means it's a government by the people, for the people there. Is it a monarchy or a republic or what kind of government do they have there?
Well, they have elections and they're generally, kind of modeled after, I don't know how you would call it. It's a democracy. They've got parties and politicians and elections. And to be honest, I haven't gotten too deep into it. I'm used to not going into that realm. But, I just haven't talked to anybody aside from the fact that people hate our ambassador here. The U.S. ambassador apparently is not liked. Not only she's got some pretty despicable behavior, but she's got this attitude that she needs to Americanize this country. And
that's not a good thing.
Yeah. And I guess she's really mean and vicious to her staff, physically abusive. And that's apparently something that has, people, concerned
is
about.
Is she an XX or an XY woman?
She's a, I don't know, Asian woman, older Asian woman who looks like she could probably be pretty mean and apparently is. That's just a rumor, but,
Is Albania in Asia or is it still in Europe? I know it's Eastern Europe at least.
It's Europe. Yeah, it's really close to Italy and just north of Greece. It's right across the Med from.
That's as Europe as you can get then. Wow. I was thinking by Turkey, but it's been a while since I've looked at a map, I guess.
Well, if you look at the map of Europe, you see Italy, the boot of Italy, the heel of the boot is directly across the Adriatic Sea from Albania.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, you can, that's exactly right where, I'm looking, if I just went into the ocean right now, it would be, I'd eventually, it wouldn't be hard to find
Italy.
If
you had binoculars, you could see Italy.
Probably not. The ferry takes about 7 hours. So it's still.
Telescope then.
Yeah, probably. Maybe something a little longer, But, there's a bunch of people over here from all over. It's beautiful. You hear, I was just sitting outside and, I counted like at least 12 languages. So people are starting to take some vacations with their families, and so you're hearing people from all over Europe.
Is there written language? Is it in Roman characters or Greek characters or
No, they're using regular English, like a regular alphabet.
Roman alphabet. Okay, yeah. That's cool. Because I listened to a little bit of their language. It's unique, I think.
You know, what's fascinating, too, is that once I got over here on the coast, I thought, man, what's going on? It's actually easier for me to understand, because it's got an Italian, it's a totally different accent. It's pretty weird to be able to tell the difference between the accent, but when you get over to the coast, people are speaking with more of an Italian accent. And they're using more Italian words over here, which makes sense. And I think that if I ran into people, this one lady, she, you know, you can get by if you don't speak Italian, or if you speak Italian or Greek, there's a lot of people that speak Italian and Greek, that older people that speak Italian or Greek and don't speak any English. So. I don't speak Greek, and my Italian is worse than I imagine. So,
I spent most of COVID learning how to read Greek. I can read it slowly, not fluently now, but I surely couldn't speak it.
Wow.
Well, so I got like 2 years of like writing the alphabet over and over again and reading various things, but not fluent, but enough that I want to go there and try it out.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I mean, that's old school. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to one of these villages? Have you seen these whitewashed little villages that are perched on the edge of cliffs right over the ocean, and people are just, going about their day. I mean, I've seen those photos since I was a kid. Always wanted to go to Greece. So it's kind of fascinating. It's exciting to even be pretty nearby right now and on the ocean. Feel it,
So James, or I'm sorry, Major, what possessed you to go to Albania versus, Montenegro or Kosovo? I mean, why Albania?
I was fascinated with this country since I was a kid, just because it was kind of a term people would use, at least in my family. And I don't know, more people would say, well, what are you from, Albania? It would be like Timbuktu. And so I remember reading the National Geographic article when I was really young, and just being kind of fascinated with it. And you hear about it, and then we were talking about it maybe, I don't know, like 6 months ago, Mr. Rowe started talking about it. And it kind of cemented in my head a little bit. And then when we had all of the things that were happening in Canada, that it just occurred to me, I said, man, I wonder, you'd have to find a country that's nationalistic, that they like Americans, that, what country has, this would be a worst case scenario, but what countries would you want to live in that would be open to giving you political asylum, for free speech, if it was a free speech issue? And so it just kind of cemented with Roe and that concept, all of that happening, that this was a place that I needed to see myself. And, it's certainly, it's also not, it's not expensive at all to get here or to stay here. It's very inexpensive.
Well, interesting. It looks like there's pretty good fishing there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did a video yesterday on, or I guess it was, yeah, well, yesterday for me. And we showed, I did it from the, right from the beach here. And these guys are just come up with their little boats and they've got that spot on the beach that they sell. And so the restaurant here buys a certain amount of stuff. That's what they get every day. And so we did a little video on just the different fish that they were going to cook for that night. And they have it in a display case. It's really beautiful. And so the owner of the restaurant, kind of went through all the different types of fish that they have here. Really fascinating. And I mean, just as fresh as could be. People take great pride in food here, especially breakfast. I mean, it's like some competition where it's insane. They will serve you this huge breakfast and it's always part of your hotel room. So you almost feel guilty paying, say, $28 for a hotel room, and then they serve you what would be a $15 breakfast in the United States. So it's, but yeah, the food is just incredible. Everything. It's, you know, more Italian influence. And then, the further south you go, it gets Greek.
That's cool. So, wow. You can download the Orthodox Study Bible at worldhistory.biz. I just downloaded it. I'll look through that after the show in case someone's looking for that.
Yeah. Have you guys seen what's going on in, this is a news story that's a little bit, you know, we talk about this all the time on this show and others. That, hey, when you've got all of this other war going on, or when the media clearly wants you to direct your attention to something, try to look around at all the other characters that are lurking in the darkness and see, look what you can bet that they're doing. They're taking it. They're people taking advantage of that. You know, nobody is looking at them and they're thieves. So apparently, there's some real bad dirt that's going on in Turkey. There's an article over at Zero Hedge, and I also posted the link to the article at thegoldwater.com. After secretly pillaging billions in Turkish assets to prop up the lira, Erdogan is going after foreigners' dollars. So this guy is really kind of, this is one of these guys that I guess we need to be taking a look at. He's got a pretty shifty past, and one of the things that that I was always concerned about with that guy is how many he spent over $1 billion on his new, I guess you would call it the palace, the presidential palace. I think it's the largest structure. I think one of the largest structures in the world. That's like a palatial or residential. This thing is massive, and part of that complex is this huge underground, massive IT center that controls the entire country. So clearly he has this, and apparently he's got cameras everywhere and has completely spent billions and billions. And apparently got some contracts through, Jeff Bezos as well to get everything. You know, they put this under the guise of modernizing the country and bringing, you know, high speed internet and stuff like that. But this guy, it was a surveillance apparatus. So apparently he's doing all sorts of dirt with foreign exchanges, and I'm just seeing this, but I just figured I'd let you guys know that's that that's something that just popped up on the radar here. So I never really trusted that guy, and they did have a coup. And apparently this, the guy who is, lives in Virginia or something, the guy that would be taken, the likely successor, if the guy was, cause remember they had that, that coup and then they shut it down. Apparently the guy who is behind that supposedly, but a lot of people think that it was a fake coup. So. Like something going on. So anyway, that's a short update, not too detailed, but something to look at. The article is from ZeroHedge.com. And again, you can get the link to it over at TheGoldwater.com.
Speaking of breaking news, I've been following this a little bit, and we need to just kind of touch on it, get you guys' opinion. The news out of the WHO, the World Health Organization, which is completely and totally Marxist, moving towards the global control, has put out they're taking a vote, the member nations of the World Health Organization, to expand the powers of the WHO, which is basically there's 194 countries that they will absolutely give the WHO complete, and I mean total complete control over individual health. Now, you go back to, again, the one of the founders of the Constitution, really, and one of the really good guys in our early history is Dr. Benjamin Rush. Dr. Benjamin Rush tried and pushed what was called back then the Rush Amendment, basically enshrining in the Bill of Rights a guarantee of medical freedom. In other words, just he said we have to have the right to choose what we do or do not do with our human body, because he was almost prophetic. I would say he was prophetic when he said, for if you don't do this enshrined in the Bill of Rights, in the Constitution, health freedom, they will come where we will devolve into a medical monopoly, which will be even more problematic to individual freedoms than anything else we can do. And he's so right. This the WHO, this is to me
more like a medical dictatorship.
Exactly what it is. Let me. This is an actual little press release from WHO itself. There was the World Health Assembly of the WHO they're meeting in May 22nd and 28th. This fellow is reporting, this investigative reporter, Leo Holman. These amendments for the first time will not require approval, treaty approval by 2/3 of the United States Senate. It's not called a treaty. It's not. It's simply amending a treaty to the WHO, which the U.S. already belongs. This is why it's so devious. If these measures are approved, and this is in the conference between May 22nd and May 28th, if they are approved as they are submitted, now, who wrote these things? Guess who did it? Our CDC, our United States Anthony Fauci team. This is who wrote this. It's amazing. It also only has to get a simple majority of the 194 member countries of what's called the World Health Assembly. These amendments would enter into force as, quote, international law just 6 months later, November of 2022. What does this mean, folks? You will not have a right, if this is passed, to just say no to a jab or whatever else. This is absolutely complete Marxism in the highest level. And hey, the mainstream media is absent about this. You're only hearing it here, folks. I don't know any other station that's talking about this. I'm monitoring this because I'm watching this closely, because it seems like whatever the Royal Institute of London says to the CDC of Atlanta, Georgia, they will just go into the WHO. It's like they are just joined at the hip. And this is absolutely beyond draconian. It's just amazing that it's even...
Does Klaus Schwab or George Soros have any sort of input with the WHO?
Because, of course they do. Yeah.
Alex Soros spends a lot of time with American congressmen. And I do believe that he's being groomed by some of the best groomers out there to become like a world leader, like more than just like a statesman. We're talking about like a ruler, like a world ruler.
Well, right along with that, okay, you've got this happening in the WHO to basically strip all health. In other words, they're so concerned that because of what the lessons the so-called pandemic gave to us, we need to be much more proactive in policing people because people aren't smart enough to know themselves. There's too much disinformation. There's too many Dr. Truots out there. Okay. There's too many net cases that are just putting out false information. So along with that, we have our pedo Joe in charge. Let's go, Brandon. Just created a new bureau. Did you hear about this? Just yesterday, Biden.
The Ministry of Truth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Disinformation Bureau.
Oh. Now,
listen to me very carefully, friends. The Homeland Security Department, again, which does what? Department of Homeland Security, DHS, have built these fusion centers. We've talked about this since the fusion center here in Utah knocked me off the air by controlling my computer. And I mean, I've been screaming and I'm just shocked. Who gives a rip? Dr. Ott, you're a conspiracy nut. Who cares? These fusion centers are a real clear and present danger, but nobody seems to care. When you see that the Homeland Security through the fusion centers now creating this disinformation bureau, because they are now, okay, this is, let me read it directly. It's, and you do your own homework. Don't just take my word for it. You're hearing it here. Research yourself. It's, quote, Disinformation Governance Board. I kid you not. The DGB, Disinformation Governance Board, okay?
Has America ever had something like that before? I mean, I know we used to censor books like
Information
and things like that.
Cass Sunstein's Office of Information Regulation Act, or the OIRA. That was, I think, the lead up to what we have here with the Disinfo Governance Board, which I find interesting. It's not an anti-disinformation board. It's the Disinformation Governance Board. So they will govern the disinfo we receive.
They will probably do exactly what they say, because that is one of their weaknesses, is they have sufficient hubris to believe that they can just tell you what they're going to do and get away with it. But my best hope is that we are not all snowflakes and that there really are plenty of Dr. A. Truots and Phil Fairbankses out there that won't let that happen.
Well, again, we have Elon Stinky Musk vowing to, when he's taking over Twitter, to make it a free speech haven, right?
They kicked me off today.
There you go. Listen. We have Missouri, you know, the show me state, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. He initially was talking about this to his constituency, and he said, this is ridiculous. It's got to be satire. This cannot possibly be true. But as we dug into it, he wrote a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Hawley wrote and said, this is, quote, a disgrace, that it absolutely is unbelievable that the DHS would, quote, monitor all Americans' speech. I mean, any and all speech, ladies and gentlemen. Are you listening to me? This is absolutely right out of the 1984 model of Big Brother. I mean, this is absolutely real time happening here. Holly said in a public statement, quote, he initially thought Wednesday's announcement had to be, quote, satire. He wrote, surely no American administration would ever use the power of government to sit in judgment on the First Amendment speech of its own citizens. Quote, sadly, I was mistaken, Holly wrote. Quote, rather than protecting our border or the American homeland, you, Alejandro Mayorkas, DHS Secretary, have chosen to make policing Americans speech your top priority. Where have we gone wrong, guys? This is absolutely stunning, amazingly stunning to me. Your comments.
Well, I can tell you, Chip Roy gave Mayorkas an earful. Did you guys see this? There was some sort of hearing, and Chip Roy, a representative from Texas, was discussing the border with this person, and it devolved into him throwing photos of fentanyl victims. It's a pretty dramatic thing, and it wasn't done for drama. This guy's pissed. He's upset, and he has every right to be. His constituents have every right to be. And this is absolutely, and just look at the body language and this snide guy. He truly believes that he is above everyone else and that he's part of the elite. He got his post, and he's going to be part of the new race of people. And clearly he's looking at this Texan with just disgust. This guy, I think that he looks at other people, just the way his mannerisms are, he reacts to other people as if they're not human. Or in the opposite sense, they're measly human. I highly recommend people going there. Again, there's a link to there, not to pitch the site too much, but there's a link in the aggregate there, and we also discussed it on the show and ran the clip this morning on Torah3.com. Another plug. That's news. It's legit news, and that's where you get it.
Wow, there you go. If you got...
Well, you know... sorry, Doug.
Go ahead. No,
I was just going to say, it seems like this... Ministry of Disinformation is likely going to be governing how we receive our disinformation, since they've been authorized since Obama, at least, to propagandize to the American people. So they're going to only make sure that just their propaganda gets out. And what we really have to worry about is the rewriting of history. Because that's what the Chinese did with their Cultural Revolution. They destroyed history, they rewrote history, and they made things that didn't fit with their plan disappear.
Well, there you go.
People you will disappear.
Well, I'm about ready to call it quits anyway and see if I can get a deep underground military base somewhere to go hide out. No, I'm serious, because... Remember the sequencing here, folks. We have, when was it? In February, or maybe it was, well, when did we get censored so badly there? Yeah, when got knocked off. It was during the broadcast, of course, with our friends in Utah and then our friends in Canada on the truckers march. But we see, right as they censored me this way at the Fusion Center, we see the directives from DHS in their new definitions of domestic terrorism to specifically target disinformation coming from individuals who are trying to link 5G microwave radiation to COVID symptoms. Now, who do you think's been doing that? Stu Peters? I mean, Dr. Artis?
I don't want to talk bad about Stu Peters, but he's sort of like instantly appeared on the scene, and I'd never heard of him before, like last year. So where did he come from? What is his purpose?
His background, he's a good host. He interviews well, and he's right to the point, and he does a good job, and the show's done, and people gravitate to that. But his background is he was a bounty hunter. I mean,
I don't have a problem with the guy. He just appeared magically on the scene here.
Let me tell you, he is linked to Brighteon Networks, which really is Mike Adams, the health ranger. Now, folks, I've been exposing Mike Adams for at least 25 years. I mean, people say, well, he's such a good guy with all this good information. Folks, 90% of disinformation is basically truth. It's the rest of it, the misdirects, that's called the massive disinformation. Folks, do your own homework. But I myself, you track all of the URLs. I'm going to ask you guys, Major, James, how many URLs have you formed in your network, give or take 10? How many URLs are tied into the Goldwater and what you're doing, James?
Over the course of time, I've probably had 30 or 40,000 URLs, domain names.
I mean, but in the actual network that you're establishing currently.
Connected to the Goldwater?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Major Burdock.
Yeah, we've got a few, but we use them it depends because we use domains for internal reasons.
Okay.
So there's some things we would never tell you about.
My point is, if you follow the network of all of the intricate sites to where he's interconnected, including places like Stu Peters and others, his network includes over 600, URLs and channels. Now, the point I'm getting with, trying to get at with this is people like H. Ruot, people like Dr. Brian Artis, Sherry Tenpenny, I would throw into this mix. I had one URL blog, one called The Story Behind the Story, hruot.com. One. I mean, that's all I can handle. My point is, I'm one person. I don't need 600 plus URLs in a network to get my message out. I have one radio show. I had one URL, one.com. One. My point is, if you have a ton more than that, it's a pretty good chance you've got some pretty heavy weights behind you making the network happen. And that's what I exposed. There were people listening when Mike Adams first came on the scene. He was operating out of a suburb in Phoenix area, and he was selling all kinds of vitamins, and like he had a health food store storefront. And so a couple of people that I knew in the Phoenix region, they were customers of mine actually, thought they would go in and visit Mike Adams' storefront and see if they'd be interested in carrying Mother Earth minerals. And they were so stunned to go into the address that was given on all of his broadcasts at the Health Ranger and to find it was nothing but a massive government computer bank there was black Suburbans. There were blacked out windows with government plates in a big, massive, basically information distributing operation. Central Intelligence Agency, NSA, does that in countries. And so I exposed that, and guess who got mad? Mike Adams didn't get mad at me. His attorney in the New York area, Ralph Fucitoli, threatened me with a massive slander lawsuit. This is bring it on. I'm just telling you what's the fact. If you really have a storefront, well, we'll expose that and I'll retract. But it doesn't appear that you do. Okay? So, you know, tell the truth. And so Mike Adams put back in his clause, basically said, I'm leaving, and he went down to Ecuador, which is, and there's video of him surfacing there. It's a known CIA operative hangout, and regrouped and came back years later with the Brighteon network and so forth. I'm not casting stones at a guy per se. I'm just saying this does not make sense. I know the history. Mike Adams, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, at the first part of this pandemic was declaring, oh, the sky is falling. We're going to have 30 plus million deaths over this thing. And I'm saying, no, 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 no. There is no isolated virus. There is no pandemic. It's all alive with WHO. But Mike Adams was Chicken Little, man. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Where do you think the stuff about spike proteins come? Oh, we're shedding spike proteins with the vaccine. Hey, listen, how can you shed spike proteins, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no virus material protein structures in the vaccines to begin with? Oh, my God, it's not disinformation. And this whole nonsense about snake venom in drinking water. Ah, isn't it interesting? They waited to break it because Mike Adams said they had to. I don't get that if you're independent, Mr. Stu Peters. Why have a cliffhanger? I'm going to break them. I'm telling you what we're going to release, but we're going to release it because we have to go through 40,000 documents.
There's some maestro out there controlling those people.
That's what I'm talking about.
They may be good guys. I don't know. But there is someone above them controlling them. They're not independent.
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Artis, I don't know. Are we getting close to break, guys? I'm losing track of my time here. But if we hear the bump music, we'll jump off. But listen, there we go. We'll take a break. We'll come back to the top of the hour, folks. This is the story behind the story. I'm your host, Dr. A. Truog. Please stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fedge, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, the doctor is in, and the doctor is tired. The doctor has got been talking way too much. His throat is scratchy, and the laryngitis is setting up. But that's okay. We'll keep plugging away until we can. Well, it's so funny because when Dr. Brian Artis first came on the Stu Peters Show and began to broadcast, first of all, he is a chiropractor. DC, Doctor of Chiropractic, and by all intents and purposes, is a very, very good one, a capable one. And when Brian Artis came on with the expose on resveratrol, I was, wow, he's great, great information. Why? Because his family member, I think it was his, if I remember correctly, his father-in-law, went to the hospital, was put on resveratrol, and what happened? Cut down the kidneys, and he exposed that. That's wonderful. So, you know, I went onto his website. I supported him 100% for his research. I gave him kudos on his little blog there, and threw a little bit of dollars this way, you know, to help him out. And so as such, he was sending me all these updates and newsletters, and that's, and very good information. I was happy with it. But then I saw the information come over and says, look, check right now, click on this link for the information on watch your water. Well, one thing I do know about is water, water and all of its properties and capabilities and capacities. So I was interested in what he had to say, and lo and behold, it was such a, you know, the first part of the interview, I have to say, guys, was good. Resveratrol and remdesivir.
Yeah, I think it's remdesivir, because
remdesivir, you're right.
Resveratrol is good for the heart, from what I hear.
Yeah, you're right. Remdesivir, I'm so sorry. Thanks for that, Mr. O. Like I said, I'm tired, and I know it's remdesivir. In fact, I've written poems about remdesivir. But, okay, great information, the first part of it, and talking about how it metabolizes. Remdesivir does do that, go into a poison inside the body, but it doesn't See, the difference between snake venom, ladies and gentlemen, and poison is simply, snake venom is simply concentrated proteins. It's a fact. What makes snake venom dangerous is not because you drink it or consume it. That's a protein shake, okay? What makes it dangerous is when the protein bypasses the GI tract and gets directly injected into your tissues and cells. So that's a fact. And so to say that the entire COVID thing is caused by snake venom in the water, I'm just like, oh my goodness. But you know what's amazing to me? People believe that and bought. I had literally hundreds of people in my network. Dr. Odd, oh, the world is falling. Are we even safe to drink bottled water? We're going to not drink any water at all. We're so afraid. I'm saying, oh my goodness. So I had to do podcasts and National Public Radio, you know, spots saying, well, stop. Stop. You can go milk a rattlesnake tonight, today, and put it in your coffee and drink it, and it won't kill you. It does. You can do that. I know people that do that because it builds up immunity in case they get bitten by a rattlesnake. All right? You're not going to – you have to milk a whole lot of rattlesnakes to get enough. If you took a whole bunch in one time, you would get sick. But it's not what kills you. Having traces of cobra venom in the world's water supplies is not what's causing the COVID. Because why? They're not talking about what? 5G radiation sickness in the Moscow signal. Why is nobody, why can't they see that that's exactly what's happening? Okay, well, Dr. Artis, bless your heart, and Stu, you say, well, it's got to be factual because there's a couple of fact checkers saying that it's not snake venom causing it. So it's got to be right. Oh, my goodness. There's a five or six entries in fact checkers about snake venom causing symptoms. There's hundreds of fact checkers telling everybody, no, 5G is safe, and it's never going to make you sick. People that say so are the worst kinds of misinformation disinformers. This is why we have to have what? The disinformation police. Well, the Homeland Security. So basically come and shut down. The question I have, guys, is what are the penalties? What is censorship? I mean, do you get a warning and say, you got one strike, the second strike, we're going to fine you, and the third strike, you go to a re-education center?
Well, yeah. Is that going to be all done under executive order and all that? There's got to be some congressional input.
You would hope so.
It's already obvious, even though the think tank Woodrow Wilson Institute is supposedly quote unquote nonpartisan. It obviously isn't because not only did our disinfo czar support the now fully discredited Steele dossier, which was a literal campaign product bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign, right? Meanwhile, at the same time, she has not deleted, like he was a spy who was paid. A foreign spy who was paid. By the way, that's illegal. You're not allowed to receive a thing of value while campaigning from a foreigner. It's absolutely illegal. Okay? She should be in jail for that. But not only that, there's the fact that she called the Biden laptop a Trump campaign product. And her old tweets about how the laptop is fake and it's Russian disinfo are still up. So in other words, our disinfo, our protection against disinformation promulgates disinformation herself and doesn't even bother to, like, you should delete the tweet or, you know, update, you know, do another tweet saying, oh, by the way, when I said that that laptop was fake news and Russian disinfo, it turns out I was wrong. It's completely true. It's been verified. The contents are real. No, she didn't do that. So it's not about disinformation at all. It's absolutely not about disinformation, or she would, you know, fix her own disinfo that she promulgates and distributes. It's about what kind of disinfo is allowed, what kind of disinfo they want to push. And once again, like I said, Cass Sunstein in the Office of Information Regulation in the Obama era, and even in the Bush era and Clinton era with Operation Negro Leadership. It's been a long time to know first.
You know what? We need to, somebody needs to mute. I think What's that?
That's Disinformation Bureau trying making it harder to get heard, I think.
Where did that come from? Who did that?
One of the spies that's listening in.
I was muted. They don't sing like that here.
It was coming from the Goldwater direction.
Oh, my goodness.
So I muted it.
Okay. Thank you. That's amazing. I didn't, wow. Huh. Everything is inverted, yeah.
The scary stuff to me, guys, about this Disinformation Bureau is now, once that's in effect, they can disappear you, Dr. Ott.
Yeah.
And you know what? They can say there's no you. Because you don't appear, you can have lawyers ask for habeas corpus, show me the body. But you know what? They won't have to anymore. They said, no, we've never heard of Dr. Atua. He never existed. That's, he's not on our record. We don't have a social security number for him. He's not a human being. I think you're mistaken. And that's the end of you. And that's the end of anybody else that causes any sort of trouble to these despicable monsters that are trying to take over the best country ever.
In this deposition today, I listened to the attorney that I had paid money for over 12 years. I established in 2008 an LLC. I had her do the paperwork. She's my registered agent with it. The whole purpose was to purchase this ranch land that is now being marketed by my ex-partner, Dwayne Ollinger, as Blind Frog Ranch, by the way. And I set the LLC up. It was me. I did it. In case you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, you can set up anybody as a member in the LLC as long as you organize. If you're the organizing member, you're doing it to protect you. You're the member. I was organized as a managing member. She goes and then explains that she, because she's a registered agent, she's declared under oath today, by, you know, penalty of perjury, quote, Truot was never a member of this LLC. He never gave a capital contribution. Where is that in the law? That you have to have a capital contribution to be put in. You have something called intellectual property. I mean, hey, Miss, whoever you are, you're not an attorney to me at all now. Listen to me very carefully. Why don't you go watch Shark Tank? Somebody has a product or an intellectual property. They need investment help to give it, to bring it to fruition. Do they ever, these Shark Tanks for Mark Cuban on down the line, do they ever say, great, I'm going to structure this so that in 5 years, I own it all. And you'll never get credit for your invention or your intellectual property. No. That's called thievery and pilfering. How dare you say that I'm not a member of my own LLC that I paid you to form. This is the insanity of this. I mean, I'm just beyond words right now about people actually, they're insane, but they call me insane. Call me a buffoon. Call me a whatever. It's people like that that would say, lock this crazy guy away. I'm stunned by it. Yeah, well, you know, I probably shouldn't have even said anything, but it's disheartening and soul searing. would report on things like this disinformation.
Well, you know, the thing that I have to chime in about that, the disinformation thing, and they got to be careful, because this monster that they're creating, it can turn around and be used against them. And I think that's precisely what needs to happen when a new president walks in. He's going to say, you serve at my pleasure, and here's your new directive. You're going to make sure that Congress, everyone in Congress, you're not going to deal with the American people at all. In fact, you're forbidden from even looking at the American people. You're going to be focusing on any member of Congress and anyone in the government, okay? And if they are, and tell them, and I guarantee you, it's going to be like, maybe like Twitter, everybody's going to, you know, freak out and leave, which is what you want. Then, you know, obviously, what you would do is say, listen, Congress needs to be held accountable, not the American people. Congress needs to be held accountable for the lies. Fauci needs to be held accountable for the lies. And that's what we're now focusing on, folks. And I guarantee you, you wouldn't have to have a directive to destroy that government entity. Congress would end up voting it out for you. Okay. That's what needs to happen with the incoming president regarding that particular bit of nastiness that is being created right now.
Yeah, and thank you for sending that into the message board. Yeah, the Natural Solutions Foundation, Rima Labell. I mean, I thought this woman fell into her, I'm going to say it. I'm tired. If I'm going to be censored, I might as well say it anyway. Didn't she fall into her witch's brew pot of young, or fell off her broomstick when she's flying around? This woman, married to General Bert Stubblebean, who wrote the book on psyops and disinformation channeling in nations. And their attorney, Ralph Fucciatoli, just happens to be the same attorney that attacked me through when I said the truth about Mike Adams. They're all the same thing. Folks, Rima Labell is an absolute agent provocateur in wolves, and she's a wolf in absolute sheep's clothing. When she was going out and doing all this, getting people to send her all this money, fighting this Codex Alimentarius years back, I had an insider inside the FDA send me a document. This is a PhD gentleman who fully knew well that she was working for the FDA to absolutely promote Codex Alimentarius. And she's out there trying to channel support so that they can target those people that donate to her. She is absolutely dangerous. Folks, if you listen to Rima, Dr. Rima called me. She says, you know, I've read so much about you. I'm going to destroy your credibility because if you don't agree immediately to tone down your rhetoric about Zionism. She's a Zionist, ladies and gentlemen, and rabidly so. I says, wait a minute. Zionism is not a religion, Rima. It is absolutely not that at all. It is a political party that wants to control the entire world. Is that who you're working for? Well, tell your Klaus Schwab buddies, not on our watch, because, you know, that's who we're talking about. Klaus Schwab is the ultimate Zionist. This is where the pinnacle is. So people like Rima Labell and Stubblebean and Mike Adams are really working for Klaus, baby, and the Schwab. Don't be misled. Oh, she puts out, oh, we got to stop 5G, so sign my petition. Nonsense. Nonsense. And look deep enough and you'll find that all of these guys are tied to the Church of Scientology. A new age front, ladies and gentlemen. You know, E. Ron Hubbard and the rest of it. Scientology. This is who these people are.
Oh, Ron.
Yeah. Just saying. These people just keep cropping back up. Yeah.
Do you think that the Church of Scientology is behind this takeover of the United States?
Well, it's part of it. We're talking about the New Age is totally demon. It's demonology. This is, there's different levels of the brotherhood, okay? But if you look at, if you talk about child abuse, child molestation, there's so much whistleblowers that come out about Scientology, from L. Ron Hubbard himself tying into Jack Parsons and the whole JPL lab that ties into Aleister Crowley. Who do you think these people are? I mean, folks, 30 years of this, you know, I'm tired.
Don't give up. I'm tired.
But well, yeah, I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm just like, how much time and time do you have to keep saying this? And these people just keep propping back up and dragging away a lot of people. I mean, they are amazing how they just keep, like the Ever-Ready Bunny, just keep coming and coming and coming. It's following the money. Go ahead.
Interesting point that you make, because the concept, well, you've got Scientology, it would fit in, because think about the basic principles. You've got this, certainly it's structured as some form of elitism. You've got the people at the top and the little people at the bottom, and everybody's trying to become an alien of sorts. That is the basic general question of what, I mean, how's that tie in with the mentality of censorship, the mentality of liberal leftist elitism? How does that tie in with the concept of mRNA vaccines? It certainly seems to fit. That's a fascinating thing that I haven't really considered, this about the Scientologists. And certainly they've got, a lot of clout, especially, and then Hollywood. Obviously tied in. Something fascinating. I'll have to check I'll look at that this weekend.
Yes, that's your assignment. The Dianetics and L. Ron Hubbard, it's about altering even the DNA structures. If you look at what's the general premise of entirety of the New Age is to raise and evolve to a new higher spiritual awakening and a new form of DNA structure. And those who, I mean, there's no difference in what's being spoken of by, you know, the World Economic Forum and Noah Harari. It's the same thing. It's just repackaged. Same lies as L. Ron Hubbard's Dianetics.
With the DNA modification, I have heard that people that meditate can actually change the length of their telomeres. Is that true?
It's, again, claimed, but I know the telomeres do not, every time the cell itself replicates through mitosis, okay, every time that happens, the telomere breaks off a little bit every time. And meditation, no proof of that. I've heard that before. It's a wishful thinking, but again, it goes back into the New Age mantra, to go into the gurus to tell you to come and do their Haum and their 528 love frequencies, on and on and on. Yeah. Nonsense.
It's a terrible situation. But it's like you're sounding like you want to give up today. I know that feeling. I've felt that before. But don't do it, because we need everyone out there like you to not give in, to not quit. And when we see these things happen in our neighborhood and in our local communities, we need to be pointing our finger at them and say, hey, that's wrong, buddy. This is not the way we do things in America. And we need to say it loud enough that everyone can hear. And everyone may be quiet, but they'll go home and they'll think about it. And you won't be embarrassing yourself in front of them. They'll respect you for that.
Well, that's what we're, you know, I just, don't get me wrong. I'm tired of it. The week's been totally emotionally draining. And let's just keep fighting a good fight. I'll have a good night's sleep and be ready to go. But it's, the fight's been going on in the trenches with me for at least 30 years, and it's going to continue. You know, never give up. Don't get me wrong, Jameson. Thanks for the pep talk, but yeah, I was not saying I was giving up. I am tired. I need a break. I need to go fishing for a while, maybe. Ha ha ha. Hey, what about, I mean, at the same time that Biden is pushing the Disinformation Governance Board, the DGB, he has the unmitigated gall at the time where, the domestic product is, I mean, sorry, the consumer price index, the CPI, is almost double digits. I mean, it may top 10% this month in April. It was 8+% in March. At the time where Americans are reeling because of unprecedented high gas prices, he wants to ship off $33 billion for the Azov Battalion, the Nazis in Ukraine. Are you kidding me?
I think it's terrible. And he left all that equipment in Afghanistan too. And probably that's going to end up fighting the Indians in Pakistan. And we're actually allies with the Indians. You know, the fishing idea is not a bad idea. I'm sorry. Let's change the subject. I'm burnt out on politics too. The heck with politics for right now, because it's Friday. No politics happen until Monday anyway. And the thing about it is, Doctor, what if we made a fishing trip and invited people? I know, speaking of the Book of Enoch, I've got a friend that goes by the handle Enoch in Michigan, and he puts together camping trips for like patriots, and they go out camp and they talk about stuff and they fish. Why don't we do something like that?
I'm game.
And we could broadcast the show from the lake. Or the river, or
somebody in Montana,
or from a ship outside of the international waters. It's only 12 miles, I think, isn't it? American international waters is 12 miles, and the rest of the world's like 200. Why is that?
Oh, good question. Why
we could go fishing and broadcast.
What happens when you catch a fish? You want to say, just a minute, I've got a hooker on the line.
We'll talk about it. It'll be like a radio fishing show. People will dig it.
Okay, I'm ready. I've done that. We just have a good. Have
I
a
know
good,
a guy's got a big boat down there.
The SS Freedom Slips. We could buy a ship from a government auction and call it the SS Freedom Slips.
Well, I don't want to own a boat. Owning a boat is expensive.
Yeah.
I've owned a boat before. I don't ever want to own a boat again. But if we could borrow someone's boat, I know people that have boats, and I'll even give them money to use the boat. That's cheaper than owning a boat.
But we could charter a nice yacht.
Yeah.
Do it in
and we'll drive it to Albania.
Yes. Ah.
Now that's an idea.
And we won't return it after we get there. That's the one thing that you told me about Albania. They're like famous for things like that.
It has Albania has the largest amount of stolen Mercedes in the world.
What Albania does? Everyone
drives a Mercedes here. Everyone.
Everybody.
Oh my goodness.
They all go.
Now let's talk about that off the air, but seriously, I brought this up because 33B with a bill, billion. You brought this up, James, all of that hardware left in Afghanistan. Well, there was a report that came out again, just once again, the total price tag of the military gear left was, there were 78 aircraft, 12,000 Humvees, literally thousands of air to ground weapons and, the rockets, not to mention just a pallet load of United States $100 bills, $1 billion+ in currency.
Wow.
Well, that's $7 billion altogether, $7 billion of military gear. And here's $33 billion. Now, how is exactly this aid going? Let's look at it. It's addition to what they've already given. It's 33
they've made a huge alliance right there in Asia, though. Afghanistan, Pakistan, and China have allied together. And that basically surrounds India. Now they have all of this high-tech American weaponry, so it isn't going to be like throwing like rice cakes at people from China. I mean, it's going to be like throwing real like ordnance at India if they decide to do that. And they probably, you know, because they've always been fighting for a long time. It was East and Pakistan fighting Pakistan, and now it's Kashmir against, you know, there's a war going on there, and people don't even talk about it. And now our ally has to fight our weapons.
Here's a news flash. I want to just kind of throw this out there. And okay, this American Airlines captain. Have you heard this story? It was just breaking Saturday, April 9th. American Airlines flight 1067 departed DIA, Denver International Airport, for a short 1 hour and 45 minute flight to Dallas-Fort Worth, DFW. Yep. The pilot's name was Captain Bob Snow, 31-year pilot veteran with incredibly great record. What happened? He pulls into the gate 6 at Dallas-Fort Worth and had a complete total cardiac arrest in the cockpit, nearly died. He was luckily shocked back to life. He passed out, had to be, you know, defibrillated, shocked three times, boop, boop, was rushed to Baylor Scott and White Health Center, just 10 minutes away. He survived. But Captain Snow was recuperating the hospital's intensive care unit, is not being quiet. He is screaming that he knows his heart attack, quote, was directly a result from the COVID-19 vaccine he was mandated and forced to receive or turn in his wings. Way to go, American Airlines. What are you going to do, come in and have him disinformation censored? You know, get well quick, Captain Snow, and keep giving him heck. I mean, it's unprecedented how this goes. I mean, and how about our wonderful, you know, she's kind of an invisible woman. She's certainly not Wonder Woman. Kamala Harris. Bless your heart, Kamala, you sweetheart. She's only been double vaxxed, but triple vaxxed. She's got her booster. How in the world is it possible this triple vax?
Maybe we could dip her in a vax. Just dip her in vax.
She tests positive for COVID. Mm-hmm.
She needs another shot.
Ah, that's what it is.
Yeah, she needs a embalmment.
They came out with some new pill, and they're saying after people took the pill, they're getting another bout of COVID, and doctors are baffled because it's supposed to prevent it, but they just can't wrap their heads around it. They just can't figure it out. The medical community's baffled.
Yes. Just can't believe.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people over here about this, and you're talking about a lot of people that right next to Italy. And I was on a bus the other day talking to a couple guys. One of them lives in Italy and is over here just sorting his papers out. And we were going into vaccines and then of course there's that delicate moment of you have to be pretty careful, especially when you're traveling. You don't want to irk people, but you're kind of dipping your toe in the water there, and then finally, okay, yeah, we're on the same page with all of this. And this guy, he's like, there's a lot of people over here that are getting their information and are using VPNs that are woke, not woke, I mean, awoken, let's put it that way. I mean, they see through all of this, and they're never going to get vaccinated. They're never going to wear a mask, yet they have to live in Italy where people are going mad. apparently, no, we had a guy on our show, you know, from Rome, and he was saying that it's, you know, just in the cities, people are going a little crazy, but, you know, when you get outside, it's calmer and people are not wearing masks and just, what are you going to do? Arrest me. But, these people, these are the people that, and there's some people that are informed, like my Albanian friends, or there are some people that just by sheer nature, older people who don't even follow the news that much, who just say, no, that's not, like, common sense rules the day. And they're right. They're right. Without having to sift through and go through and listen to all the lies, they've just ignored it, and they, common sense rules the day. It's like, I'm not sick. I'm not scared. And that's how it's going to be. And you're not going to stick a needle in me. There's something wrong with you. Why are you coming at me so hard? Why, you know, because people do see the propaganda, and it just doesn't work on people over here. And it's so refreshing. But one other thing I wanted to say, you were talking about pilots. I don't mean to change the topic too much, but this is a really fascinating thing that I would encourage everybody to go watch this guy's video on. It's a guy named Mentor Pilot, M-E-N-T-O-U-R. He's got a YouTube channel, and he just released a video yesterday explaining what the timeline is for the aviation industry in Russia, considering their current aircraft and their ability to get parts and even their ability to manufacture airplanes, considering that they still require parts like engines, and they require gear, like landing gear and instrumentation and all of this. If they don't do something quick or make a deal with China, but even then, the bottom line is that the clock is ticking before anyone is going to be able to fly any kind of aircraft outside of Russia. They're going to cannibalize all their planes, but they're running out. They don't have enough. And so it's going to be a year max before they're not going to have any aircraft that are certified to fly outside of that country. So something's going to be done, certainly diplomatically, just even for that reason.
They will just demand that everyone takes rubles and lets them use their wooden tires.
Yeah. But the bottom line is that this thing will end itself. It has to, if only for that one specific reason. So let's just not freak out about the whole thing. There's not a second world war, or third world war, nuclear war coming. They're going to ratchet it up. And I'm telling you, we were discussing this, and I said, you know, I really think that if need be, these people are so desperate and so inclined. And plus they're going to, like, their livelihood, if they lose, some of these people, if they lose power, are going to be in a lot of danger of going to prison or worse. And I wouldn't put it past them. They have total disregard for the rest of people. I wouldn't put it past them to create some sort of nuclear stunt just to really put the fear in people at the right time.
They have nothing to lose, because if they lose power, they will go to jail or worse. You're absolutely right. People, it's like this 2020 thing. People are always saying, we can't go forward till we pass 2020 and fix it. Well, guess what? We're coming up on 2023 before you know it. And it's going to have to be fixed. But we're going to have to fix it the hard way, the criminal way, by prosecuting these people. And they will have got away with it for the last few years. There's nothing that we can do about that now. But they have it coming, and they know they have it coming now, because we won't shut up. We have not shut up, and we keep stomping our feet and telling people what's going on. So you're right. drop a couple nukes, F-15 Americans, whatever. Biden's already said that he would do that. We're in a world of hurt, guys.
I'm telling you that it probably will just be blamed on that. When you have the cyber attack and the United States goes dark, it'll be blamed on a high level nuke EMP. Okay. But let me shift gears one more time and then we'll call it a night. It's got a few minutes. And I want to leave on this heart-rending story. This is out of the Cook County and Chicago Journal. A 15-year-old boy. Let me tell you the story real quick. This is entering a whole new level of insanity. A 10th grader at the Latin School of Chicago, a very high pricey prep school, college prep school, $40,000+ annually in tuition. And his name's Nate Bronson, Nate Bronstein, was fully vaccinated, yet he ran afoul of some of the upper echelon people in this prep boarding school, who spread the rumor that he's Jewish. No, that wasn't what caused the hate. No. They spread the rumor on the social media platforms that Nate was unvaccinated and was anti-vax, unvaccinated. So he began to be bullied and incessant bullying. So he got so fed up, he went and took his own life, killed himself. Completely false rumor. He was totally, totally vaccinated, but was having trouble breathing and had some myocarditis setting in, and he was depressed, not feeling well, and took his own life. Folks, there is what you got to understand. There are literally millions, tens of millions of permanently disabled people, and it's getting worse. I want to you can cue up this incredible song. NoMoreSilence.com is a great website, folks. Her name is Julie Elizabeth. The website is NoMoreSilence.world. Julie Elizabeth unveiled this song. I played it on a National Public Radio podcast. I want to leave you with this. It's kind of maybe hard to hear her lyrics. Julie's health was previously very healthy and vibrant, mother of two teenagers. But she was brainwashed into taking the COVID jab. She actually says she ran to get it. She was first in line because she believed that it was going to stop the danger to her, right? And today she's permanently disabled. Over 20 debilitating symptoms, daily problems. She was a successful career as a saleswoman. And now, the last 7 months, Julie, since taking the jab, she's been totally unable to work. In fact, she needs assistance just to even go to the kitchen table to eat. They're actually now diagnosing people like Julie at the National Institutes of Health. It's in the diagnostic books now. An immune-mediated reaction. EIMR, immune-mediated reaction. It's diagnosed now in the Merck. Listen to her song. It's called No More Silence, Vaccine Injured Song. Listen to it. And we'll close with that because it's heart-wrenching. Okay, guys, do you have that queued up? Simple to put on. Let's play with it. Again, her name is Julie Elizabeth. I put it into the chat room to queue up. If you've got it, let's play it.
I could probably play it from the server. If you give me a second.
Okay, that works, Mr. O. Yeah, it's a again. I she's talented. She can at least sing, but she has to sing sitting down and the piano accompanies. This is just a really.
Okay, I think it's called Silence. Is it the one?
Yes. Yeah. Elizabeth, ladies and gentlemen, first dose of Moderna, 10th of March, 2021, lot number 002B21A. Julie, Elizabeth, thank you for saying it was no more silence, please. They're just being ignored, and this is so tragic and so wrong. I mean, we're talking about disinformation governance boards. To silence people like Julie Elizabeth. Here's the website, ladies and gentlemen, go check it out, is nomoresilence.world.
She made the Bixby turn on my phone. Her voice or the words that she was saying, one of the two, that activated Bixby.
Oh, well, so the audio quality wasn't as good. I appreciate that. Mr. Rowe did great to put it on. But the other website I'd like to just draw your attention to in closing is Real, R-E-A-L, realnotrare.com. Realnotrare.com. Great website. Our mission statement, they said, our government asked us to do our part to stop the virus. We thought we were doing the right thing. Now, we are injured, many severely, so we are hurting. We are in pain and losing our jobs. We are demanding now our government do the right thing by acknowledging our injuries. Simple thing. Acknowledge them. As well as establish compensation for the tens of thousands who have been injured or have died. No, it's in the millions, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. Kamala and the rest of you, you know, that are sick with COVID, well, you aren't sick of a novel virus. Your immune system is being absolutely attacked. And it's just going to get worse. We got to quit, you know, saying, ignore it, it'll go away. It's not. This is amazing. Real and present danger, ladies and gentlemen. But that's okay. It's just not really that bad, right? Uh-huh.
So when did Dan Rather get a medical degree, doctor?
The same year that Bill Gates did.
Yeah, I'm guessing, because, Dan Rather is begging people to get a COVID shot today.
Of course.
Why?
Why they care?
He cares. Let me quote him. If you haven't got a booster shot for the COVID vaccine, please do. Please. It really can save your life. One shot, that's it. That's the tweet. No snark.
He's no got your back.
Just the truth. Please help spread the message, Dan Rather.
He's got your back.
I thought he was a fossil. Didn't he fossilize?
I thought he passed away years ago, but I guess not. Maybe they kept just his head in a bottle.
I think when they make the deal, they get extra long life. That's part of the contract.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, Dom has booked us a couple of great guests for now. I just give you a preview of upcoming attractions. Next Friday night's May 6th show, we have the judge of all judges, Anna von Reitz. Yes, we'll join us from the great state of Alaska. We'll talk about something that's really amazing. A new international currency that her group has come up with that is backed by, you've got it, gold. I think she calls it the Unidollar. We'll get the inside of that. The network of trade banks. And this might be very helpful with you there in Albania, Major, to help see what's going on. And then the week after that, we'll have, for a second appearance on the Story Behind the Story, the gubernatorial candidate for California, Reinette Senham, will join us. She has a great website. She really does. It's Elect Reinette. It's simply Elect Reinette, reinette.com, Reinette.com, ElectReinette.com. The Common Ground candidate, Reinette Senham, for California governor 2022. I am not a Democrat, she says. I am not a Republican. I am a Californian. Good for you, Reinette. For our children, yes. It's time. No more Hegelian dialectic. No more left versus right. No more us against them. Let's just get together. We gotta say this is for us and for our children. I'm looking forward to this interview. Thank you for that, Dom. She did a great interview before. It's been quite a few years last, but she's excellent. Well, hopefully she wins a space in the general election and the primary is coming up, I think, in June. Well, she'll talk all about her platform. give her a stand, and hopefully she can take the broadcast MP3 out and help her tell her story. That's what we're all about here. So thanks for that. Next week again, Anna Von Reitz. Let's have a couple of real fun shows. No scripts, no pre-canned questions, no press releases. That's the way I think journalism should be. But, you know, we're dangerous misinformers, gentlemen, especially the Goldwater. You should have seen General Flynn run when I told him I was affiliated with the Goldwater Network. That man is creepy, General Flynn. I tell you, my goodness.
He is a Democrat.
You got to be kidding. I thought he was a rhino.
No, he is actually a Democrat.
He was a Democrat before he went into the office, and he probably still is.
It was just what was weird, you know? So I don't know why anybody would trust the old DIA guy that used to be Democrat trying to talk about infiltration, but that's just me. Anyway.
Well, I got to tell you, I was part of the press corps, and so I wanted General Flynn. He was the headliner. I wanted to have, you know, they basically field the questions before they let you come to the microphone and ask them. My question was, you know, simply this. You admitted, you pled guilty, you admitted to perjuring yourself before the Congress. You admitted this as NSA director. Why should we believe anything you say to us? You're a perjurer, sir. My point in asking the question was simply, why did you perjure yourself? What was the, explain yourself, but do it believably. And the man was so creepy. He just wouldn't even have me anywhere near him. It was.
Did he walk around with a baseball bat?
Did he or me?
He.
No, but I tell you, he had his little page boy entourage. This guy was making sure that, you know, he's basically his handler type of thing. This man's creepy, believe me.
Well, I like to take people for what they actually show, and you know what's behind the scenes and all that is sometimes different, but he's gone both ways, you know, and sometimes he's weird and sometimes he's right on. Maybe he's just a regular guy in a general's hat.
Yeah, maybe, you know, he's an ultimate spook. He's a spook and I don't trust him. I'm just gonna say I'm a pretty good judge of character that way, I should say. Let me, you know, we're done out of time.
You may be right.
Thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. We'll be back next week. Anna Von Reitz will be our guest. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate a great show. Be well. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.